as the band's getting situated. Jack and Wilma Jean, good to see you. How's everything? We have a lot of people on our prayer list. I'm going to add another one this morning. Pete Williams, Gary Watson's new son-in-law, is struggling with some, we don't know what it is yet, right? A virus or something. He's been in the emergency room. So we're going to lift Pete up in prayer that the doctors can figure that out and get him situated and back to health. Are there any other notes of people that are on the prayer list? We have any updates, anything, any information we'd like to add? I know Butch, you would, where is Butch? He's here somewhere. Oh, there he is. Chris is doing good. Butch's daughter is out of surgery, and things look positive. That's wonderful. And we obviously want to keep everybody. Is there any other people that need to be on a prayer request list? Or yes, Floyd.
I have an uncle. He's my mother's youngest sister's brother. he's had 17 back surgeries so far. And Wednesday he goes in for another one, and they cut it in two sections because his heart, and that's not good enough for it. He'll go back in on the 29th. They'll finish it. That's the prayers for him.
And what's your brother-in-law's name?
Van Johnson.
Van Johnson?
His wife is putting up with a lot as normal. But Jane. And I also have another one. My youngest daughter, Janet, who lives down the Lake of the Ozark, her husband, Brad Browning, about 5-6 years ago, his grandpa turned bad and none of his family could take care of him. So they gave him their master bedroom at their house, and he's been living with them ever since. And he passed away this last weekend. He's 98.
Wow. Lift up that family for God's peace.
We have a young man that called me last night that his wife, Renee Doss, and his wife, she broke her foot and is in a heavy cast, and they're going to do some x-rays, I guess, this week, try to see if it's good.
There's always a great need. Emily's doing better?
Good.
Wonderful. The this is an interesting topic. I want to start a topic on wisdom. And it's very ironic because what you have is a pastor with very little wisdom going to try to teach wisdom. And it is kind of funny. I struggle with this because the wisdom in the Bible, man, I've got so many notes here, we'd be here for a week. So I'm not even sure where this is all going to go, but it's a very important chapter. Wisdom comes from God, and that's one of the reasons I want you to be reading your Bible. Because of the very reason is because pastors have, we have our faults and difficulties and struggles just like everybody else. And so if you get in the habit of reading your Bible daily, what it allows you to do is listen to any pastor and not fall into the trap of saying, oh, that must be the truth. Because I did that when I was young. I started following certain pastors on TV and got really wrapped up in it. And then as I began reading the Bible, began discovering that some of the things they were teaching, I don't think so. A lot of it had to do with the prosperity gospel. And so what it allows you to do is when you become familiar with the Word of God, it allows you to test the truth. And we all fall short of that in many ways. So are there, by the way, I know there's been many of you in here have adapted or taken on my challenge of reading the Bible daily. Are there anybody here who would like to share anything or a testimony about that, that is actually doing that? Have you had any discoveries, any enlightenment, wow, I didn't know that was in the Bible? Well, keep reading, you'll find it. One of these Sundays I'm going to bring passages and read some passages from the Bible. And if I didn't pretext it of saying, this is found in the Bible, if I read these passages to you, you would say, there's no way that's in the Bible. And there's a bunch of them like that. We'll get to that in another time. So wisdom, what is it? Come up with all kind of great things, but biblical wisdom is simply the ability to see and understand things from God's perspective. And then you take that perspective and you put it into action into your own life in whatever circumstances that you're facing. There's something that goes right along with wisdom. It's part of wisdom. It's called discernment. Discernment is a power to see what is not evident to the average person. And we're talking about spiritual discernment. So it's the ability to see God's truth. Spiritual discernment is the ability to tell the difference between truth and error. That's why it's so important that Christians read this book. It's basic to having wisdom. Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, said this about the Pharisees. He says, and he's saying to his disciples, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, but to them it has not been given. Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. So God must shed light on the human mind to enable us to understand the truth. And that's what we're all after, is God's truth, because when we work in God's truth, our lives improve. When you go to the and start doing a study in wisdom, one of the things you're going to come across right away is you're going to learn about King Solomon. Because in the Bible, it says that King Solomon was the wisest man to have ever lived because God blessed him. King Solomon became king. King Solomon is David. David, the one that knocked down Goliath with a stone. That's one of the sons from Bathsheba, as a matter of fact. And Solomon is taking over the throne, and he's only a teenager. And he's got the whole kingdom of Israel to lead and guide. And he's this young man, 14 or 15 years old. And he's afraid. He doesn't know how to rule all these people. It's like stepping in, all of a sudden somebody calls you and you're the mayor of Edwardsville or whatever. It's like, and you have no experience. So he's got this heavy on his heart. And he's praying to God, what am I going to do? And in a dream one night, God comes to him and says, listen, Solomon, ask what you will of me. What do you want of me? And Solomon prayed what I call the prayer of wisdom. He said, God, if you can give me anything, I need wisdom on how to rule these people. Show me how to be king so that I may know the difference between good and evil, right and wrong. And God was very impressed with that prayer. And he said, Solomon, because you prayed that prayer and did not ask for riches or for glory, I'm going to grant that prayer. You're going to become the wisest man this earth has ever seen. And on top of that, I'm going to make you the wealthiest man and the most greatest king that has ever lived. And as you read the story of Solomon, it's a story about all of us in that what God can do and come into our life. But what happens to Solomon eventually is he stops walking closely with God. He becomes distracted. He loses his discernment. I'm going to read a favorite story of Solomon's wisdom in this Bible. Many of you that read the Bible, you're going to be familiar with this, but it is a great story. It comes from 1 Kings in the first chapter, 16th verse. This is when Solomon's wisdom became known all throughout the land. It says, now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, oh my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house. And I have given birth while she was in the house. And then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And there we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us. And this woman's son died in the night because she had rolled over on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and then laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son, whom I had born. And then the other woman said, these two women are standing before King Solomon pleading their case. So the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. There's this big argument. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is mine. And this goes back and forth. And thus they spoke before the king. And finally, King Solomon said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other one says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. So the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought the king a sword. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half each to other mothers. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him. But the other mother said, let him be neither yours nor mine, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is the mother. And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had rendered, and they had feared the king. For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. And as you read through the book of the Kings and you read about the things of King Solomon, his wisdom, other kings, other queens came to him for knowledge and wisdom and problem solving. And he was great and he was mighty. King Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He wrote most Proverbs, where we get a lot of wisdom from. Why all these types of these stories? What is the point? We read the Bible, we read these things, and yet we come here today and we have all our own sufferings and our own problems and own issues. What does this mean to us? And I think that the last time I preached, I said reading the Bible is all about transforming your life. It doesn't matter what you study in your life. The reason you study to become an expert in something is so you can apply it in your life and then give benefit to others and yourself. You want to become a musician, you have to study and practice and play, or a dentist or a doctor or an architect. It doesn't matter. You go through lots of schooling, you read lots of books, you listen to lots of lectures so that you can be transformed into something different that you aren't currently able to do. All of us in here, regardless of our age, can become transformed. If we decide we're going to begin studying or learning or working out, we can transform ourselves. But it takes a conscious effort and a consistent effort to make that transformation happen. It just doesn't happen. It's like I can pray to God. Now, the exception is that Solomon prayed for wisdom and God gave him supernaturally wisdom. But that is for Solomon. That doesn't happen to all of us. What God has now done is he's taken all these stories that Solomon wrote, that Moses wrote, that all the people in the book wrote, and he gave us this book with all this 4,000 years of history for us to dig into to assimilate that information. And through prayer and through Bible study and listening to teachers, you can transform your lives into a spiritual being that will give you discernment and godly wisdom that will help you in your life. And the big deal about discernment and wisdom, I don't know if you've recognized this yet, but we live and we work in a world of relationships. This life is all about relationships. And the better you get at being really good at positive relationships, the better quality life you're going to have. You show some, you take anybody and bring them to me and show me somebody that is, for whatever reason, bad at relationships, and I guarantee you I will show you a miserable person. There's people that cannot get along with their boss at work. There's people that cannot get along with their spouse or their mate. There's people that can't get along with their neighbor for whatever reasons. This life is about relationships, and not only with one another, but with God. And this book and the wisdom that it gives us and the discernment it gives us teaches us how to have successful relationships. It teaches us how to live as Jesus wants us to live. Listen to these words. Bitterness. There are people we know that become bitter. Bitterness in the heart is a relational issue. You become bitter because of someone else or some circumstances. Jealousy is a relational issue. We need God's wisdom, God's grace, the grace of Jesus Christ and His teachings so that we don't fall in the trap of bitterness, that we don't fall in the trap of jealousy. The struggle for power and control is a relational issue. If you feel like you've got to be in control of this and you've got to do whatever, it's a relational issue if you are in control of anything, but other people are suffering because of your leadership. On the other hand, kindness is also a relational issue, a good issue. Honesty is a great attribute, relational issue. And loving your neighbor as you love yourself, as Jesus taught, wraps up all the wisdom that we need to know about relationships. We exist and work, we live in a relational world. And the more we can master the quality of our relationships by applying godly wisdom, the greater life satisfaction you're going to experience. And all of us that are married or in a relationship with someone for a long time, you know what it's like when that's broken. It's painful, it's awful, it's terrible. It's one of the worst sufferings you can have is when your relationship, the person that you're trying to be closest to, you get into issues with. It just destroys us. It destroys what God can do through us. That is why we need wisdom and God's wisdom and His ways of dealing with broken relationships. Eddie, is there a way to put up, is this the first slide? Don't worry about it. You know what? Don't even worry about it. Proverbs is full of ways to look at life through wisdom. It is not God's law. Proverbs aren't about God's law. It gives us a way to look at life. I'm just going to read a few of them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. However, if you're a mocker, you alone will suffer. Fear of the Lord. And if you read further in Proverbs 8:13, it says to fear the Lord is just simply to hate evil. It just means you are going to take the path of love, kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. In Proverbs 3:13, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver. Yields better return than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways. Wisdom is the ability to discern and make decisions and action which will expand your love, compassion, forgiveness, kindness, mercy, hope, and light into others' lives. Essentially, it's living as Jesus would live in this world. Living as Jesus was living. There's a great little story about that. A mom had two little boys, Kevin and Ryan. Kevin was 5, Ryan was 3. They loved pancakes, and mom loved to make them pancakes. And one Saturday morning, she got up early. She's going to make the pancakes, and out they come, Kevin and Ryan. All excited. They're going to get their pancakes that morning. But for as boys will do, they started getting into a tiff over who was going to get the first pancake. They're shoving each other, pushing each other, calling each other's names, butting each other out of the way. And mom finally decided, I think I'm going to use this as a teaching opportunity. And she said, boys, settle down. Listen to me a minute. What do you think Jesus would say if he were here right now? The two little boys, they're just looking up at her with their big eyes, and they're not saying anything. And she goes, well, let me tell you what he would say. He would say, give the first pancake to my brother. I will wait. The two boys looked at each other, and Kevin, the oldest one, looked up to mom and said, Mom, I really like that idea. So he turned to his little brother, who's only 3 years old, and he said, Ryan, you be Jesus today. Wisdom allows you to rise above the storms of life. Imitate Jesus. In Proverbs 16:16, it says, how much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Precious, precious metals. It's the greatest thing we can receive because wisdom can improve our relationships and can allow us to live in joy and peace with one another. It's about transforming our lives. I have one more story for you I'm going to leave you with today. I'm going to have the band start coming back up. This story really is about Proverbs 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold or anything precious, any precious metals or money. Wisdom is where it all begins, where our peace begins, where our satisfaction begins. There was a woman traveling up in the mountains. She loved the mountains in the spring. She gathered flowers. She loved to walk through the streams. And one day she was walking through this shallow, crystal clear stream, and she saw this amazing, precious stone sparkling and glowing in the creek, and she bent down and picked it up and knew that it was an extremely valuable find. Extremely valuable. So she put it in her knapsack and went on her way and continued looking at the flowers. And shortly she came across another hiker, a young man who was hungry. And she decided to share some of the lunch she had with her to the young man. And when she opened her knapsack and began to take out the sandwiches or whatever she had in there, the young man saw the precious stone that she had found. And he said, what are you going to do with that? It's just an old rock. Can I have it? And the woman said, sure. If this would make you happy, you can have it. And the young man took it and had his lunch and off he went. And that night, he realized that the stone that this woman had given him had great wealth. As a matter of fact, it'd be worth so much money, he could sell that stone and retire and never work another day in his life. But that night, his conscience began eating him. And he said, why would that woman do that? Did she not know the value? So the next day, he hikes back up in the same mountain, hoping to find the woman. And there she was, same spot, picking flowers, listening to the birds. And he went up to her and he said, you know, you gave me this stone yesterday and it's very valuable. And she says, I know it is. She had a big smile. And he says, but I'm going to return this stone to you if you will give me not this, but give me what you have inside of you, that knowing that you had this stone that was so valuable that you would give it to me with no hesitation. That's what I want. The young man had discovered wisdom. God's wisdom came in his heart, and he realized that if he could have what that woman had, what a release he would have in his life, what a way he'd be able to live with peace. If any of you lacks wisdom, it says in James, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Like the little boys, we have to make a decision. Are we going to wait for someone else to be Jesus in our life, or can we be Jesus to those around us? Amen.